Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, and we are continuing in our series on the life of King Uzziah. There's only two locations where he is recorded, 2 Kings chapter 15, the first seven verses, and then 2 Chronicles 26, and the passages that we have there that are dedicated to the life and times of King Uzziah. We're looking at the man who almost finished well. The man that almost finished well. Remember that the Old Testament was written for our learning and for our admonition. You know, learning is something that we are accustomed to. We all have to learn every day of our lives. We learn things. But admonition is a step above that. Admonition steps in and said, listen, you need to pay attention to this. This is something that you cannot forget. This is something that yes, you learn, but something that should be embedded in your heart and mind. That's admonition. It's where dad pulls a son along and says, now listen, when you're mowing the lawn, don't pull the lawnmower back over your feet. You'll cut your toes off. I'll never forget that lecture because a boy on my baseball team in the spring of 1975, lost the toes on his feet when he pulled a lawnmower onto his feet. And I remember he was out for most of the season, came back the last week. He could not run. We let him bat, and one of the boys on our team ran for him. But forever changed his life, pulled the lawnmower up over his feet. And I remember Dad emphasizing, boys, be careful. That was an admonition. When you're mowing, you can't stop thinking. You got to be paying attention. That's admonition. And so we're given to us in the Bible many, many examples. Many men. We're not here to critique King Uzziah. We're here to learn and be admonished concerning his life because there are things that we can take away from his life. Things that we can learn because we're all of the same ilk. We're all human beings. Amen? We're all human beings. And we all fail. And we all do things that we shouldn't do. But there are some admonitions, things we shouldn't forget, that need to be in our hearts and in our minds as we live here upon this earth. And I'm going to pick up where we left off last time. And we're looking at the life of King Uzziah. And last time we took the first of the two, of several that I've given to you, the first two, great things come from a personal relationship with God. I don't think there's anyone here that says, my personal relationship with God has brought me bad things. Our relationship with God through Jesus Christ has brought us life everlasting. Daily grace to live life. The mercy of God, whereby He withholds things that we deserve. He withholds them from us. The goodness of God that's demonstrated each and every day with things that happen and you just see, that's just the goodness of God. Good things come when we have a personal relationship with God. It doesn't mean that we're never going to experience bad things, but we have a faithful God to carry us through every one of them. Number two, we looked at last time, when you follow God, He will empower you to do His will. This falls in line with what Bill was sharing. Our love for God. I want to know more about God. I want to know more about His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to know more about Him, the one who loved me before the foundation of the world and determined to send His Son for me, whereby I could have salvation and deliverance from the curse and be able to spend all eternity with Him. I didn't deserve any of it, but God in His love provided it. Amen? So we see here, when you follow God, He will empower you to do His will. We saw that in the life. That whenever King Uzziah followed God, he received great success. That's the first basically 12 to 15 verses of this particular section. And then something changed. Something happened. And I want us to see this. Our time is limited tonight. But I want you to see numbers 3 and 4 tonight. Pride will blur clarity and cause you to overstep God-established boundaries with impunity. I want you to look with me at verse 16. Because we finish up those first 15 verses, and wow, what a story we have there. The greatness of King Uzziah and the abilities God gave him, the talents and the abilities to be able to do the things that he did and the inventions that he made and the buildings that he built. I mean, just an amazing man, but something happened, and we're told. But, conjunction of contrast, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. I'm going to spin this one right here. Pride will blur clarity. Paul, after he was saved, gave this testimony: I am the chiefest of sinners. I am the chiefest of sinners, but the grace of God was manifested in me. You think about the fact that Jesus brought clarity to the apostle Paul before he was an apostle. He was struck down on the road to Damascus. He was blinded. He came face to face with God Almighty. Paul, or Saul at that time, why kickest thou against the pricks? Now, what in the world were the pricks? Those were the love prods of a God that had a purpose for that man. But that man was religious to a fault. He thought he was doing God's will, killing Christians and arresting them. But he wasn't doing God's will. And God all along was taking his prick and prodding at Paul. Why kickest thou against the brethren? We could call that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. Constantly. And Paul comes to faith in Jesus Christ. He was blind. He went to the house of Ananias. And there his soul was ministered to with the Word of God. And Saul, later on, would become Paul. Saul means big. Paul means little. His name was changed to reflect something that had happened in Paul's life. Here we find King Uzziah when he was strong. Now, what does that mean? He worked out at the local place, you know? No, it's not talking about that. When he came and his power level increased as a king, and other nations feared him, and he had gotten great notoriety because of his accomplishments, now he had shifted away. It was God that had brought him thus far. It was God that empowered him to make these inventions. It was God that gave victory over the Philistines. It was God that was doing all of this. But he turned his affections away from God and turned them inward. He became strong. And what did he do? He lost clarity. What is clarity? Clarity is seeing things for what they are. It's seeing things through the lens of reality. He stopped thinking this way: God, you are the one that has done this all. To God be the glory, great things he has done. Lord, your name should be praised in all this. He stopped and he turned inwardly. He said, look at me. Look what I've done. Look at the things that, as he looked across Jerusalem and he saw the parapets and the special things that he had designed and built for archers to go inside of and be protected, but still be able to kill the enemy. The launcher, the missile launcher, 800 years before it would later be used by the French and other different groups, the Greeks and the Romans. It was King Uzziah that designed that. Look what I've done. Notice. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. His heart was lifted up. This is a danger. Again, I'm not here to criticize King Uzziah. I'm here simply to reveal what God has said in His Word about King Uzziah, because this comes, as I said before, 1st and 2nd Chronicles are written from God's point of view. 1st and 2nd Kings are written from man's point of view about the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. But when you come to 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you will find that God shares His view of what's taking place. Very little is recorded in Kings, 2 Kings 15, about King Uzziah, but a great deal is given to us about his character and what had happened. He was lifted up in his heart. Lifted up in his heart. Pride. He lost the clarity that we all need. That God alone. Let me ask you something. How many of you voted on your eye color? How many of you voted on your physical stature? Did you want to be 6'4"?
No, I never did.
You never did? I did.
Did you?
Yeah. I remember a tag that was on the back of a little Datsun whenever I was growing up. The Datsun belonged to Dave Johnson. Anybody remember Dave Johnson's little Datsun that he had? And it says, "When I grow up, I want to be a diesel." Okay? "When I grow up, I want to be a diesel." I wanted to be 6'4". Man, I had visions of playing basketball and being able to dunk the basketball. We played basketball out in the yard. Some of the best memories we had, when Dad would get off work on day shift, we'd go out there in the yard and shoot baskets on our ramshackle board that was hanging from a chain up in the, and that thing wobbled all over the place. It's a wonder we ever got the ball in the basket, ever. But, you know, that time that we spent together, the point of this is that King Uzziah allowed his heart to take over his vision, and he lost his clarity. And that brings us to the next one. And I'm going to close with this one. Pride will redefine, now get this, freedom. What am I free to do? What am I free to do? Oh, we talk a lot. This is the 250th anniversary this year of the United States of America, and we talk a great deal about freedom. But do you realize that freedom's being redefined today? Freedom for most people means I can do whatever I want to do. You can't tell me that I can't have an abortion. You can't tell me that if I want to change my gender, that I have to follow you Christians that believe it's only male and female. Though that's the history of humanity, and that's the science behind it. You can't, what is it? Freedom to do whatever I want to do, no matter if it's wrong or not. Now notice this. King Uzziah. Pride will redefine freedom as personal autonomy without limits. That's not the freedom. Freedom in Jesus Christ is to do what He pleases. Do I hear an amen? He sets the limits. He's the one that says, "Hey, be ye holy, for I am holy." He's the one that says, "Flee youthful lust." He lays out all these principles in His Word as He demonstrates His will for us. But then the devil comes along and the world system and redefines freedom. Personal autonomy. All right? Personal autonomy without any limits. And you know what a person begins to think? There shouldn't be any limits on me. You know what happens next? What does that next line say? Then any restriction looks like oppression. That restriction on me is oppression! When it's not. You believed a lie. For me to live a holy life and to abstain from all of fornication, as we learned this morning, isn't that a restriction? But it's for our good, and God gives us the power to follow it. But the world comes along, and Satan comes along and says, that's a mean old restriction on you. What was the restriction on King Uzziah? Only the high priest of the line of Aaron, may serve as a priest in my tabernacle, in my temple. We only learn of one other priest after the order of Melchizedek, which we find that Jesus Christ, it may have been a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ as Melchizedek, we don't know for sure. But from the line, and here's King Uzziah, he's not from the line of Aaron, he's not a Levite. That was a restriction. King, you have your role over here, and the high priest has his role over here. He redefined his freedom. His heart was filled with pride. There was a restriction in place, but I'm king! I can do whatever I want to do. And he entered into the holy place and took the censer in his hand and began to conduct the role of the high priest, in which he had no business. Who told him to do that? His heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He redefined freedom. Freedom for me is personal autonomy without any restrictions. Do away with the restriction of the Aaronic priesthood. Who would establish that? Who established the Aaronic priesthood? God Almighty did. All right? God Almighty did. And the Aaron's priesthood was a picture of none other than Jesus Christ Himself. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus Christ entered into the Holy of Holies with His blood. He was the high priest. And what did he do when he presented the blood unto the Father, according to the book of Hebrews? He sat down at the right hand of the Father. The Father accepted the work that was done as the high priest. And here's King Uzziah usurping that role, and therefore usurping and twisting the role of Jesus Christ. Whether he realized it or not, he had lost clarity, again, because of his pride. And he redefined freedom to do whatever he wanted to do. As we're going to see, as we finish up this study here, this is what the Lord took when he saw that. He stopped him in his tracks. As we're going to see, we're going to talk a little bit about Hansen's disease. Anybody know what Hansen's disease is? I know the nurse here knows what it is. What's another name for it? Leprosy. And we're going to learn that it breaks out on his forehead, the most visual part of the face, the forehead. They say people with high foreheads are very intelligent. So I guess I'm the exception to that. That's just because I'm losing my hair. That doesn't count. But you think about Hansen's disease. We're going to get into that. WebMD has this whole detail about leprosy. Do you know it takes 20 years before leprosy actually appears in an outward manifestation? And yet King Uzziah was hit with it, and it was visible on the forehead. I'm going to share with you from WebMD all the details of Hansen's disease at that stage. Why did God stop him? And as a matter of fact, the priest grabbed him, and the Bible says he fled out. He realized something. Though too late, he had crossed a boundary line that wasn't his to cross. Be careful. It's easy in religious times to adopt the definitions that are being used today. The people are not meaning the same things anymore. Terms that we find familiar in the Bible are being redefined and changed and made to mean things that God never intended them to mean. We've got to stick with biblical definitions, amen? Biblical definitions. And freedom comes from Jesus Christ. He sets the terms and definitions of freedom. I don't do that. And to change the term of freedom and make it individual autonomy without any restrictions is dangerous, as we see from God's Word. I pray that the Lord will help us as we live lives in this world, as we are around people all the time. Who should they see in us? Jesus Christ! That's who they should see. They shouldn't be seeing me. Look at me. Yeah, look at me. That's not clarity. That's not reality. They should be seeing the Lord Jesus Christ in your speech, in your life, in your decision making. That person wants to follow Jesus Christ. That person loves Jesus Christ. King Uzziah lost that element. And he ended up dying a leper, and he couldn't even be buried with his family. He was buried outside. He couldn't live in the palace anymore either. Did you know that? He was put in a summer place where he lived the rest of his days because he allowed pride to destroy the truth that he was nothing and God was everything. Father in heaven, I thank you for the Word of God. Lord, there's so many things to take away from this story here. But by the grace of God go we. There's nothing that King Uzziah did that we wouldn't do, because that's just the way we are. Lord, I pray that we would take to heart the admonition of his life. It's included in the writ of Scripture for a reason and for a purpose, for our learning and for our admonition. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, in a time in our history where we're constantly redefining terms and making them mean something different than what they really are, I pray that we might stick to the precious Word of God and let it dictate the truth of freedom. Freedom comes through Jesus Christ. And I pray that we might understand and know that it's not personal autonomy without restrictions. It is doing what pleases Christ. I pray that you'd work in our hearts in a very powerful way tonight, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.